2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. And this is Bold Calls. As we go through every position today, we're going to give you at least one bold call, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. Doesn't matter. We're still going to give you one. So joining me today, instead of going solo like I thought I was going to have to do, he decided to grace us with his presence, the one, the only, Mr. Bear. What's up,
Jack? Hi, everyone. Good. How are you?
Oh, good. Just, getting ready for an 11-game slate, about ready to put in a nice long hour or a long day of DFS, and hopefully not too many NFL things happen because I'm not going to have time to touch it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think last night was fun for us. We
it was not.
Well, maybe not for you, but for a lot of us it was. we had a good... It was one of those things where if you played Blake Griffin, you did well. If you didn't, you didn't.
Oh, I played Blake Griffin and still didn't do well.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, who else did you play at the forward?
Jokic was in a lot of them.
See, I was going to bring up Jokic for that exact same reason. So I did as well because, I mean, look, he was like, what, 22 points in the first quarter? And then they blew him out. I mean, the reality is, if they didn't blow him out, that play would have been phenomenal.
Oh, they would have been. Oh. Yeah, yeah. When Jamal Murray, did you see how many minutes he played?
I know, yes, and I know why, because we all saw the first half he got in foul trouble pretty early.
Yeah, but still, I mean. It's not just the foul trouble that was there. I mean, when you're going into the fourth quarter up by 26.
Right, exactly. It's double fold. Yeah. You're exactly right. It's the blowout. It's the early foul trouble. But the funny thing is, he still came out in the second half and then hit value.
11 straight points, 2 threes, got to the free throw line. Looked good. Looked good.
Yeah,
no resemblance of that calf bothering him at all. But... yeah, look, one of our things here in the DFS Army is we don't predict blowouts. Why? Because you'll get larger spreads like Oklahoma City versus Sacramento, and guess what? It gets flipped on you. Yeah. Not only that, but usually what ends up happening is you're right about 50% of the time. The other 50% of the time, you're wrong. So I would rather be wrong when... and get those points rather than be right and miss out on them. Or wrong and miss out on them, sorry.
Right, absolutely agree.
So I could say, yeah, it's probably going to be a blowout, and we're going to have a lot of situations like that with the Hawks and the Kings and possibly the Grizzlies. It's nice when the Grizzlies and the Kings play each other. but I just don't do it. So
yeah.
I don't avoid people because of blowout risk, and I don't play people because they could get extra run on a blowout. So
okay,
it's just not part of my strategy. All right, let's get going here. Point guards. Guy that we're going to have to watch out for is Ben Simmons, back in of a back-to-back for Philly. There's some rumblings around the industry that his running mate could sit on the back end of a back-to-back as well. I don't know about that, but we do have to watch for Ben Simmons. So.
Yeah.
We've got John Wall at 9,400. He is actually more expensive than Steph Curry. I never thought I would say those words. We've got those are your three over 9K basically on FanDuel.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can play any of them. And well, if so, the one I have any if the one I do have interest in is actually Steph.
Yeah. No, same here. Especially at home.
Yeah.
especially against some of the trends that we're seeing here defensively on the Wizards side, furthers that. So yeah, I agree, but so the thing is, for me, I actually want to play John Wall only in a very specific spot, right? I'm not playing him in cash. I'm not playing him, you know, but I think because of his price, I think because of the fear that, let's see, what is that spread? 9 points?
Yeah, 9.5.
It's 10 now.
Oh, it went up.
So because of that spread, you're going to have some fear that, oh, they're going to get killed, which, by the way, could very well be the case, right? But in a tournament situation, if I can get John Wall's upside in an up-tempo game with single-digit ownership, I do have interest there.
And I hope you're talking about in larger field GPPs.
Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about... Yeah, absolutely. GPPs. Only GPPs. That's right. The first thing I said, not in cash.
I'm talking about, like, I'm not even talking about your higher dollars. I'm talking like, you know, where you got to take on at least 12 to 15K people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's why it's a very specific spot, and that's what that spot might be. So outside of that, and I might even play the both of them in that spot.
Yeah, I do like the idea of having a ping pong there. Like, if there were qualifiers out, like, for the live final, this would be a spot where I would take that ping pong action on a live final.
Speaking of which, can we please get those out already?
Oh my god, no kidding.
I'm waiting because I'm going to be there this year. I'm just telling you right now. Moving on. So I think I know where you're going at point guard. In fact, I'm pretty damn positive. So we'll let you have at it.
Yeah, in a lot of my builds today, it's just not... I'm not finding myself paying up. Most of the world finally saw what I've been watching it for, you know, well, I've seen him do it since he was in Norman, and I don't mean at the University of Oklahoma. I mean from in Norman High School. I mean, he's a local kid from, you know, a couple hours down the street, went to college in his hometown, and now is... You know, he's got the ability to do it. Now, is he going to have games where he's going to go 3 for 15 from the field and be like, you know, why is he shooting what he's shooting? Who does he think he is? Steph Curry? Well, yeah, actually, he kind of can make those shots. The dude was dropping freaking bombs from 35 feet out and doing it with ease. And everybody was like, well, he's got to learn to work off the ball screens and stuff. Well, he put in the work in the offseason and in summer league, and he's now learned to do it. Now, granted, okay, I get it. The Cavs are going to make everybody look – or a lot of guys look good. But with a rookie in his third game going into it, I want to see him get that confidence built up because now I can use him. Not that I didn't the other night, but now I can really, really use him. The bad part about that is now the secret's out.
Not as infectious as it will be midway towards the season.
Right.
So there's a few things I want to talk. And for those who don't know, we're talking about Trae Young because we didn't mention his name yet. So the first thing I like about it, it's a national televised game, correct?
Yes, ESPN's got it tonight.
That's the first thing. This is his first national televised game. Guys that have a chip on their shoulder love to introduce themselves to the national audience.
And that's you're probably asking how the number 5 overall pick can have a chip on his shoulder? Well, he's about to tell you why.
Yeah. The thing, and you said some of them, right? He's too small. He's too streaky. He can't play defense, which he can't yet. I mean, that one's valid. He's just a shooter. So I haven't seen him as much as you have, particularly high school or college. I've seen him a little bit in college, but I've been watching every game since, you know, these first few games in the NBA. He's not just a shooter.
No, he's not.
He gets to the basket, really good at penetrating. He's a really good passer and a playmaker and a ball handler. And on top of those things, when he is hot, which he's been all season so far, you're getting 30 plus points, real points on top of that.
Yeah.
All those things that I just said, he's playing the Mavericks, who Dennis Smith Jr., when it comes to defense, is maybe a half a step better than Trae Young on defense, but which is really not saying much. So the defense just won't be there. The next thing I want to add to the Trae Young play, just to kind of let everyone know why I'm so high on it, this game is a 1.5-point spread, so it's going to be tight the entire way. Well, at least towards the end of the game. If there's swings involved, even better, because that means Trae Young's a big part of that swing. And the totals is third highest on the board at 236. As a sample, Lakers and Suns, who play at an insane pace, is 238, just 2 points higher. So, yeah, I think for me, Trae Young is going to be a staple in whatever I do today.
Yeah, I can't foresee me not having a lot of exposure to him tonight, and it's just kind of going to be one of those things. Okay, so I don't have. Okay, so here's my bold call.
Yeah.
Okay. Spencer Dinwiddie will be the leading fantasy point getter on the Brooklyn Nets.
Ooh boy.
At the point guard position.
Ooh boy.
Can I ruffle some feathers, please?
I mean, you just did. You just did.
Shout out A.D. Walsh.
Yeah, absolutely. He gone. So a little bit about Dinwiddie. The funny thing is, I had a really big smile on my face when you said that, because as you know, and most of our members by now know, as soon as the last game ends on the West Coast, I immediately start building my lineups for the next day. I had a lot of Dinwiddie.
A lot.
I mean, I think I may have built about 12 or 13. I think he was in like 8. I paired him with Trey. I paired him with Steph. I paired him with, you know, a little bit of Kemba. I paired him with Rubio, which we'll talk about here in a minute. There's just a lot to like there. He's getting the minutes. He's spending a lot of time at the 2 with the second unit, as well as the 1. I mean, that team, they're kind of interchangeable, right?
They are.
I don't know about the highest. Well, so you're saying the highest on the Nets, not of the Knights, correct?
Right, on the Nets.
On the Nets. Yeah, I can see that. I really can. The thing that concerns me or perturbs me, we haven't seen much from D'Angelo Russell.
We haven't. At all. He got banged up. He played 19 minutes that first game or whatever it was. He got banged up with the elbow, and they kept him out as a precaution. And then he just kind of looked off. But he goes through stretches like this. I mean, remember when he came back last year, he looked like he didn't even remember how to dribble a basketball?
Yeah, I do.
So, I mean, it's just what happens. I just really like the way that Dinwiddie he hasn't shied up on being aggressive. And, I mean, you know me. I love it when guys who command the ball are really, really aggressive. I grew up with it here. It's just the way that I love to watch ball handlers play. Now, the crazy thing about it is like, you don't have any what I would call true point guards anymore. Like, distributing, you don't have the Steve Nash, who even Steve Nash could be aggressive, but, like, that are known more for, like, the way they pass and how they pass rather than being aggressive and attacking the rim. But, like, Dinwiddie can pass still. It's just that he can finish, and he can finish. Yeah, like, I think Shabazz Napier is actually the best point guard on that team, but the best guard playmaker might be D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah,
for sure. But the best overall ready to lead his team in every aspect is probably Dinwiddie. Like, they all have great, great qualities. It's just they're not all in the same guy.
Agreed. And the only thing that takes a little bit away from him, which won't be an issue because I think Crabb is still out, is when LeVert goes back into that second unit, because LeVert's also very ball dominant. He can still eat, right? I'm just saying.
I don't think LeVert's going to go back to the second unit, though. Not if he keeps playing the way he's playing. I think they'll bring Crabb off the bench for some more punch there. Okay, so, I mean, you've got to think about it. They've still got Damari Carroll that's out. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is probably going to come back tonight. Mm-hmm. Alan Williams is still questionable day-to-day. I mean, the Nets are kind of banged up, although they're getting healthier. Like I said, Shabazz Napier is coming back tonight. That's going to throw a little bit of about 15 to 20 minutes into a wrench, but I don't see it. I see it affecting D'Angelo more than I do Dinwiddie.
Okay.
No disagreement on that one?
I mean, it's kind of a 50-50, really. It depends on the... Because like we said, it depends on where D'Angelo is. Like you mentioned last year when he came back and couldn't dribble. He was also coming off a pretty serious injury.
Yeah,
he's
not coming
off an injury now.
I get.
But he's still like he was. So
streaky.
I think that's a big reason why we saw the Lakers kind of give up on him so early, is because they saw that inconsistency. And look, players are going to go through slumps. I play ball. I don't know. You probably played some ball. It's just the way it goes. But
I played baseball, so I know about slumps.
Cool. Well, even more so, right? But there are some things that you can control. And those intangibles that players who are going through certain slumps still do, he doesn't. It's all or nothing with him.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's nothing, play the guys around him. When he's on, play him.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just like I won't say that Markelle Fultz is a bust after, what, 9 games in the NBA. I mean, come on. Okay. Yes, the dude had a mental case of the yips, but he was the number one overall pick for a reason. The dude's got talent.
Definitely.
And he just hasn't been able to string it all together yet, and he's getting more comfortable. So, but that's another day for another podcast. Anything else in point guards before we move on? There's some value today, man, but it's not good value. Or it's not like...
It's not cash value.
Well, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not...
not good chalk?
it's not easy to swallow is what I'm saying. You've got Cameron Payne who's going to lead. Like, the dude's going to get 25-plus minutes again. Tyler Johnson's going to get 25 minutes. Michael Carter-Williams.
At minimum price.
Yeah, there's word that his minute restriction has been lifted and moved up to 25.
He's going to start today, Michael Carter-Williams.
Yes, he is going to start. But if he's starting and only giving me 18 minutes, I don't care.
No, sure.
You know.
Which, by the way, will probably be the case because you're going to see a lot of Eric Gordon in there.
So. Right, but there's word out of Houston Shootaround that his limits being talked about moved up to 25.
Yeah.
So you've got, Shelvin Mack for Memphis, who's going to play 20, who's been playing 25 minutes. You've got Colin Sexton. Mm-hmm. You've got Patty Mills, who's going to play close to 30 minutes. You've got a lot of value at the point guard position. Dante Exum's going to play close to 20 minutes. That's why I find it so hard to pay up for guys like Curry, Wall. Not that I won't in a couple lineups, obviously. But man, the value at the point guard position today is off the charts.
Yeah.
But none of it is what I would call safe value.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I like a lot of those plays. I think we should definitely look to pay down because of the value. You just have to guess right, right? So, I think for your cash games, you could probably go into the 5 or 6K range. If you want to take some shots at tournaments a little bit lower or higher or high low, right? One of each. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, kind of like Rubio.
Well, I was trying to stay around that $4,000 and just start spitting off people.
Yeah.
I mean, Rubio is, remember those point guards that I said they you know, couldn't really shoot, that like were known more for their passing. That's still the stigma on Rubio. Even though he's gotten better, his field goal percentage has gotten better since he's been with Utah.
So, it's still not there, but it's definitely gotten better.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was great. I'm just saying it's gotten better. All right, let's move on to shooting guard here. Why don't you go ahead and start us off, because I've got a couple questions for you that I want to hammer you with, because it's not I'm not quite 100% sure exactly what's going to happen here.
I mean, the question of the day is to Harden or not to Harden, right?
Mine's a no.
Yeah, and I'm with you. But what I do want to cover, though...
I want to hear what you say why, and then I'll tell you my reasoning, too.
Sure. So what you're going to hear a lot of is, oh, Utah plays at a slow pace. Well, guess what? They don't.
They don't anymore.
Not this year. At least not to open the season. You know, what'll happen? Who knows? But, I mean, it's the trend of the entire league. It's not just them. But particularly them, because historically we've kind of stayed away from them, or at least from targeting them. Here's the thing. It's more than likely that so Harden's got the highest usage of pretty much anybody. Any player in the world, right? Yeah. It's just he's their team. More so without Chris Paul. But even with Chris Paul, it's up there. Without Chris Paul, it's asinine. So, you know, you're going to get a guy that is going to have the ball in his hands, you know, 40% of the time. It's the second lowest total on the board. And that's a little bit concerning for me, because over the last 48 hours, Vegas has caught up with their totals. Because, I mean, if you bet the overs on the first week of the season...
Yeah, you crushed.
You killed it.
And we talked about it on Monday.
Yeah.
They've caught up.
Exactly. They caught up. And so you're talking about a low total with a caught-up Vegas odds. That's not too attractive to me. At least not at, you know, what, just under 12K.
Right.
And if you're going to pay for that chalky price... I don't know.
I think he's going to... Because if you look at the studs, and at least on FanDuel, if you look at the studs and you go to their salary, he's the most expensive. But you've got Harden, or you've got Giannis with no Simmons. LeBron in Phoenix, he'll probably be the chalkiest.
Yeah, probably.
Especially if Embiid's out, people are going to flock away from Giannis because of the quote-unquote blowout factor. I think they think that they can pair up LeBron and Harden, and there's enough value that you could do it and go from there. I'm not doing it,
yeah.
But I think that's what a lot of people are going to think. I think we're going to see 30%+ on the ownership on Harden. So I just want to throw that in there. Sorry.
See, I like the same games that we talked about at the point guard position. That Dallas Atlanta game is really intriguing to me. And what's interesting is all of last season, we wouldn't touch shooting guards versus the Hawks. We wouldn't touch them. It's kind of been, not kind of, it's definitely been different.
Yeah, this new coach has come in and it's kind of messed up the rotation defensively.
It has. So
at least from what I've seen so far.
I think kind of similar to Trae Young, where, forgive the background noise, Doncic, he's still a rookie. He's not as well known, although he was certainly hyped up during the draft. But now that that's, you know, long gone, I'm not thrilled with how much he is today. He's a little bit pricey, but I really like paying up there. So you mentioned chalky, right? I think you're going to see a ton of people on Devin Booker.
And the main reason absolutely. High total.
The high totals and, you know, the scores that the Lakers have been putting up, you know, 120, 130, 150. They put up 142 and lost. I mean, to the Spurs, who, you know, aren't known to be a juggernaut offensively. But the one position that the Lakers defend really well is the shooting guard.
Yep. And thank you, Josh Hart.
Yeah.
KCP.
Both of them. Absolutely. And those guys both get run simultaneously when they're really small.
Yep.
Especially with now with the two, you know, starters suspended. But so yeah, so I'm gonna tamper my Booker exposure. I'm gonna want to have a little because he's always has the ability to lose his mind. But I'm gonna have Phoenix exposure in other spots, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, so we gave out a little bit of wrong information, and I'm gonna back it up here. Why?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm gonna kind of segue into why I'm fading James Harden today in a lot of my lineups. A good probably 95% of them. James Harden is basically what you would say the team's point guard, right? Without Chris Paul on the court, you know, he's the facilitator and everything like that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I can get that for $8,200. Now, granted, it is a slower game. It's a slower pace. Right. It's the lowest total on the night, but I'm getting a $3,600 discount, which is basically a pump player for a higher usage rate. The reason why is I said that James Harden had the highest usage rate of anybody this season. He does not. That would be DeMar DeRozan at the position, at the quote-unquote shooting guard position. DeMar DeRozan, make no mistake about it, is the San Antonio Spurs point guard.
Yeah.
I watched that game against the Lakers. Granted, it was an up-paced game against the Lakers, everything like that. I watched that game. Probably like you did, I did not watch it as a fan. I could care less. I enjoyed the basketball, and I wanted to watch and see how the Spurs were running their rotations. Because, to be honest, I asked you a couple times what was going on with the Lakers' rotations, and we couldn't figure it out. At least I couldn't. There were people on the floor that I didn't think that were ever going to play in a close game, and they were out there performing in good quality minutes. But anyways, DeMar DeRozan's usage rate is a 32.3 this season, where James Harden is a 30.8, and I can get DeMar DeRozan for a lot cheaper.
A lot cheaper, yeah.
DeMar DeRozan is basically James Harden light. And until DeMar DeRozan's price creeps up to around the 95 to 10K range, I will be playing DeMar DeRozan. And I was never, I mean, you can ask people that have been around here for years. I have always, always, always been a believer that I just don't play DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
It's different this year. Give me new information. Let me make another decision. I just did. So my bold call is DeMar DeRozan will be obviously not only a better value play or point per dollar play at the shooting guard position, he will outscore James Harden tonight.
I can see that.
In fantasy points.
I can see that. I've got another shooting guard that I think will outscore James Harden tonight.
Yeah, and I'm not just overreacting to a lot of people are going to be like, don't play him. It was an overtime game. No, I'm not overreacting to that. I know what I saw, and my eyes do not deceive they.
Yeah, no, so, for sure. Right. He's got the green light. There's no question.
Your next one.
So we talked about, you know, again, the high total games. And with everyone looking at Steph, Wall, Durant, I'm really liking Bradley Beal here.
Ooh, now that's sneaky.
It's sneaky, yeah. So it's good because it's sneaky. It's good because, I mean, he's going to go underlooked, right? I mean, you got so many guys around that price. He's a couple hundred below DeRozan, which, by the way, I don't mind playing both of them. I mean, that's, you know. So I like that a lot. And also, I've looked at what the Warriors are doing defensively at that shooting guard. At that position, it's the worst on the board. Which is shocking, because Klay Thompson has that phenomenal defender rep. But again, they do a lot of switching. But you can't put it all on him. It's the team. But Yeah, that position is something I really like to attack. I'm going to have a lot of Beal. A lot of Beal.
I can see that.
So those are my two. I'm with you on DeRozan. Not really high on Depot, particularly against those Spurs. So two other high-ish price guys, and we'll find some value here. A guy that I play a lot, and he just never seems to get the respect in the industry for some reason, but he keeps putting up big numbers, is Chris Middleton. Middleton, we have to see who's in, who's out today and what the lineups look like on the defensive end. But if they're fully healthy, you know, he'll probably draw Fultz and or Redick. Just going to be blunt, neither guy can guard him. So I do like that for Middleton. And then what's your take on Donovan Mitchell?
Today? I like him. I think it's only a matter of time before he does have that game and everybody remembers what he's capable of doing. I don't think he's really had it this year. Yeah, he's had some okay games, but nothing worth paying that 8K price tag off for. Yeah. It could be tonight, obviously. I don't think he's going to be sneaky. I think he's going to be popular. I like Chris Middleton more. I actually like Klay Thompson more. Kent Bazemore. I mean,
yeah.
It's not that I just AK's a little steep for me when I can go to 82 for DeRozan or 8K right. for Beal. He's kind of in that blah range for me. Not that he's not a good player or anything, just that he feels like he's overpriced.
So I wouldn't say overpriced. I would just say kind of overlooked by all of the other better plays around his price range or lower, right? Like on a short slate, you take AK Mitchell in a heartbeat. But with this large of a slate, with this many shooting guards at these prices, I mean, right there with you. Interesting you mentioned Klay. What do you like about Klay?
I just think that he's kind of got going last game. I think he'll be fine again tonight. You know, it's just I don't shy away from Bradley Beal defense. I don't think that he's Scott Brooks' teams have always had trouble defending the three-point line. I watched it for years here in Oklahoma City. It's just kind of one of those things that it still feels like he's underpriced. He didn't get a full game in. They ended up blowing out the Suns. It's just it's kind of a combination of things. He's $6,400, and we know he's got 50, 60-point upside.
So here's my issue with that. Everything you're saying is legit, obviously, right? But on FanDuel, at $6,400, I can get Josh Hart.
But you can play both.
You can play both. I don't think
there'll be many. I'm not saying he's the only guy. But if you want to get off the chalk,
right?
This is how I would suggest it. If you're saying, okay, I'm building two lineups and I want to differentiate in the shooting guard spots where I want to be different at. Okay, play Josh Hart in cash and play Klay Thompson in tournaments. They both have upside.
Yeah.
But Hart, I think, right now in his current role, has that safer floor. That's my thing.
For sure.
So I just know that it's got upside there.
Who else are we looking at?
Okay, so I've got a couple questions for you on the value front.
Yeah.
What are we doing with these Memphis guards?
Man.
I've got Garrett Temple projected for 30-plus minutes, and I'm getting called out on that. I've got Marshawn Brooks projected to go off in 20 minutes. I mean, it's so bad to where when I get off, we get done with the pod and I release it, I'm literally going to double-check the model to make sure that I didn't cross a number up. I don't think I did, but man.
Yeah. So a couple things, okay? So let me answer the questions. So Garrett Temple to me is going to be in a lot of my lineups too. A couple of reasons why. Number one, they're down. I think Chandler Parsons. We already know about Jamike. But Garrett Temple is going to play 35 minutes, man. I mean, $3,900 versus Sacramento.
I just want 30. I don't even care if it's 35. I just need 30.
Exactly. You're getting a minimum of that, barring any injury or foul trouble, right? He's going back into Sacramento.
No, I got the revenge factor.
I mean, I know you did it, but we got thousands of people listening. They might not, right? Temple left the Kings. No one leaves the Kings on good terms. Let's just be a very blunt here, okay? Maybe a few here and there, but he was like, I'm out. I want to get out of there. And now he's on a team that, frankly, has looked pretty good.
Yeah, they haven't looked bad at all.
Yeah,
amazing what Mike Conley will do for a franchise.
Yeah, like that guy. Yeah, I'm with you there.
So, one of the most underemployed guards in the NBA, by the way.
Just at that price, with all of those factors factored in, and how atrocious the Kings are defensively, and the Kings played last night in a barn burner. I mean, tough. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, in that aspect, you give me $3,700 for Marshawn Brooks. I think Temple's a better play,
yeah. But
I mean, Marshawn Brooks is there. I mean, you got Wayne Selden.
Yep.
There's another couple guys that we'll talk about here. I love this Memphis game going into Sacramento, especially considering that Dave Yeager's on the Kings. So Sacramento wants something for Dave Yeager for the Grizzlies too. Don't tell me that coaches don't care about their former team's revenge. Yes, they do. Especially with the way that the Grizzlies did Dave Yeager.
Agreed. Agreed.
All right, let's move on to small forward here.
One more player we got to talk about.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
We can't let it go.
We've
got another 30-plus minute game for Rodney Magruder versus the Knicks.
FanDuel got a little bit smarter there.
You got to look at that. So, yeah, okay, we can move on now.
Yeah, FanDuel got a little bit smarter there. They upped him to... what was it, $4,500? So, yeah, they finally got a little bit smarter. I still think he's too cheap right now. Without Deion Waiters back, he's still too cheap. So, all right, let's move to small forward here. all right, so your boy got away with one the other night.
You mean got an excuse? Like
no,
he got off easy?
He got away with one. Should have been a T.
Think so?
Yeah, he was so calling a timeout on that rebound.
Maybe. Frankly, that
Josh
that
Hart saved him.
Yes, that's no question about that. But my adrenaline was so all over the place that game.
I know you weren't responding to anything that we were saying.
I was gone. I didn't give a crap. I was watching that game.
For those of you that don't know, we do have behind the scenes a coach's chat that we talk throughout the games. We talk about you members and we talk about the games in general. so don't think that just because you're in there tilting, we're not seeing it, because we are. And about the second quarter, Bear stopped talking. It might have been right after halftime, but he stopped talking, and it was hilarious. But yeah, he got away with one. Okay, so are we LeBroning tonight, or are we fading the King?
So before I answer, okay, just because we just talked about him, I'm reading here that Garrett Temple is now a game time decision. I'm also seeing here that Dylan Brooks is ruled out. I'm also seeing that Jeff Green will play and Jan Mahimni game time decision. Yeah, so we're going to factor those into our discussions. To answer your question, I'm going to take a few shots with LeBron. I think as much as everyone says, we're not panicked, I think they need to win. The Suns are an improved team, but they're not in the category as where, I'm talking about expectations-wise, right? They're not in the category of where the Lakers are. And if the game is remotely close or in the Suns' favor, he's going to take off the armor and just say, this shit is mine. Everybody get out of my way.
Yeah, I agree. It's just kind of one of those things like, okay, they've got to get a win. But he knows that Kuzma and Hart are going to run with them. Now he wants to see who else is going to come. Everybody's talking about, can I say it just once? I know we're just over a week into the season, but can I please say it?
You can say whatever you want.
I told you so.
Well, I don't think it was even really in question. I think
about Lonzo?
No. So let everybody know what you told us so about Lonzo, so everybody else knows.
That he was going to be overowned and he wasn't going to do anything more than a mediocre game. I didn't need to have him in order to... He came out guns a-blazing, and then he faded into the abyss.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did.
When Kuzma and Hart started making plays, it was like... I honestly think he wasn't even on the court. In fact, I think to close the game, Spive was on the court, wasn't he?
Who was?
Little white dude, European, oh, number 10. Yeah, Svi.
No, Svi wasn't on the court. It was... You know who was on the court that I was like... The hell is this guy? I mean, I know who he is because I watched him in Summer League, but that Williams guy, the big, the power forward, and he had a monster game. but at this point, I kind of render KCP useless fantasy-wise.
Oh, yeah.
I think Hart is definitely the play. I think you're right. You could have done without Lonzo, but you couldn't question the spot he's in. And I think a lot of that, by the way, is Popovich, you know, game playing to make sure Lonzo doesn't kill them. And I will also say you don't have the same personnel as you do over there in Phoenix, but either way, the ball will be in LeBron's control. So I'm definitely going to take a few shots. $400 cheaper than Harden. Yeah, I'm in.
Oh yeah. With LeBron. Absolutely.
Now, you know, nobody needs to listen to this podcast to know that LeBron and Giannis and Kevin Durant are good ball players. No one needs to listen to us to know you should play them when you can, right? We know that. Obvious stuff. There's a play at small forward that I don't care what I'm playing. I am locking this guy in, and I'm not looking back. And that is, any guesses?
Josh Richardson?
Nope.
No.
I'm going to be playing 100% Nicholas Batum.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
100% Nicholas Batum.
Yeah. So I definitely can see the reasoning behind that. I'm not going to dispute it. I mean, I. You can make a case, honestly, that Josh Richardson and Nicholas Batum are the best dollar per point values on the board at the position tonight.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been playing him all season to start, and I know you know because I show you a lot. The highest I've seen him is 3%. I don't get it. He doesn't get the respect. I'm fine. He's not scoring dependent. When he is scoring plus his other peripheral stats, you're getting that 55+. Versus the Bulls, who can't defend the lick.
And their best defender is out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Right? I mean, yes, there's a little blowout factor. A little. Not as much as in some of the other games. What's the spread?
3.
I mean, dude.
Sorry, 5 now.
The spread is 5. 230 over under. there's a lot to like about that spot, and that's, for me, that's gonna, he's gonna be a very, very heavily exposed for me.
Yeah, I can see it. I can definitely see it. I'll have a lot of Josh Richardson. That's why I said that. Okay, so let's go to some value here. Okay, so we just went through a couple of these injuries for the Memphis Grizzlies here. You said Dylan Brooks, Garrett Temple's a game-time decision. Chandler Parsons is out, obviously. Is this paved away for our first Kyle Anderson night of the season? If you want to go there.
Man. That's tough for me. That's listen, we're going to have to see who sits. If you get no Dylan Brooks, no Chandler Parsons, no
Garrett Temple.
Garrett Temple, that'll change things for me. But as it stands right now, no. I think Garrett Temple is going to do everything in his power to get on that court. Everything he can possibly do.
Yeah, I've got him as I've got him listed as probable, where I have Dylan Brooks listed as doubtful here. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that I just, you know, I look at my models, I run them, I don't put any sort of biases in them. You know, it's strictly numbers. It's proven to work. We've really, really, really done well with it since we created it. But looking at guys like, you know, Kyle Anderson, who's $4,100 on DraftKings, it's popping off for 20 plus minutes. You know, Mario Hezonja, who I mentioned the other day, is going to pop off, you know, just under 5K. Carmelo Anthony is scary, don't get me wrong, very, very, very scary, but it's definitely something that he can get hot, and there'll be times where Carmelo Anthony's going to win some people some GPPs this year. So I just really like that mid-range group with, you know, not only Nick Batum, but also with Josh Richardson there in a nice little bounce back spot. Andrew Wiggins could be out today. So keep in mind that, Jimmy Butler's probably going to see a lot of Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi Leonard's probably going to see a lot of Jimmy Butler. So I don't really have any interest in, any Minnesota Timberwolves to begin with, but I definitely don't, if that's the matchup that we're going to be seeing a lot of. So, all right, let's move on to power forwards here. Kevin Love is obviously in a very, very good spot. And in my opinion, he's just too cheap. He's $8,500 on FanDuel. So he's the focal point of that offense. We've seen it time and time again. I think this is a nice bounce back spot for Bobby Portis. Draymond Green, I think, is still too cheap. Kuzma is still too cheap. And a guy that if all these injuries kind of so there was a reason I asked about Kyle Anderson, and it's because I really, really, really want to play this guy if everything holds fruition outside of Garrett Temple for the Memphis Grizzlies. I really want to play Jaren Jackson.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely.
So, absolutely. But if like,
do we know how long Jamaica is out for?
6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Gotcha. He'll be over.
Or maybe it's 4 to 6. It's right around that 4 to 6 to 6 to 8.
Jackson will be over 7K pretty soon.
He's 6,500 now. He should be over 7K now. So,
agreed.
Okay, so Toronto's starting. It's probably going to be Joe Val tonight going against Minnesota and Karl-Anthony Towns. As we've seen, it doesn't really matter. They're both going to get run, both him and Serge. So I don't mind that at all. If you want to take a shot at Serge Ibaka, he's got a 40-point ceiling, but he's a better real-life basketball player than a fantasy basketball player at this point. Dario Saric.
Okay.
Simmons is out.
Not yet.
Well, I'm giving you a hypothetical here.
Okay.
Simmons is out. Embiid is in. We know that Rocco and Hollis Jefferson, or we know that Rocco's back, are going to play. It's a back end of a back-to-back. If Embiid's in and Simmons is out, are you playing Sarge?
Probably not.
Okay. If Embiid's out.
I mean, 100% at that point, you have no choice. You got no choice at that point.
If they're both in.
No, probably not.
Okay. I would tend to agree with you, although I say it, the situation that you would want would be Embiid to be out if...
Right.
I don't think it matters as far as his production or anything. I just... It's not ideal. You're taking more of a chance.
Yeah.
For $5,800, I can play Markieff Morris at Golden State.
100%.
I guess try to double up with Marvin Bagley, although that just feels dirty.
It does.
I could play Sabonis at 49.
Yeah.
I need Embiid to be out in order for that to happen.
Right. So, how much Kevin Love is too much Kevin Love?
A 100%.
That's the only way too much.
I would say probably. I wouldn't. How many lineups am I building?
Let's say 100.
You would. 80 is probably my limit.
It is your limit? Gotcha.
And that's me cutting it back a little. That's me making sure I cut it back a little to make sure I don't overexpose it. Yeah. Even though that is overexposing.
Yeah.
So he's just in a phenomenal spot. Okay, are you taking a shot on Josh Jackson or Ryan Anderson against the Lakers?
Not Anderson, Jackson, yes.
Okay, I'm probably not going to on the main slate. Maybe in the later slates I'll do it, but I'm not going to do it on the main slate. So,
yeah, I mean...
I don't find myself paying all the way down like that.
What do you think about against his former team? Not that he was there that long, but what do you think about Ilyasova?
Yeah. It doesn't bother me. I mean, I've been playing Ilyasova already, so...
Yeah.
I mean, we know that he's getting rotation minutes. He's $4,100, and he can go off for 25.
Yeah.
Or 30. So, all right, let's move on to center and close it out here. A lot of people thought that Enes Kanter was a disappointment the other night, and... I would have to say maybe from a fantasy point production he was, but he still had a really good game. He didn't suck or anything. He got you, 35?
30-something. I mean,
he didn't touch his ceiling. Like
He didn't Dario Saric you.
Yeah. you know, but he still did really well.
he didn't Markel Fultz you.
Yeah, no kidding. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be in play most of the season. So I don't think we need to really, I'm not worried about Hassan Whiteside defense because I think he's a little punk. And as soon as he starts getting schooled, he's going to back off and go cry to mommy, or get pulled off the court. Simple as that.
Very likely.
In fact, if there was a Miami big that I would be playing tonight, it would be Bam Adebayo.
Bam.
So, where did that get? Ooh, I had that. Hassan Whiteside is questionable, but he's no longer on the injury report. Bam's automatically going to see 15 to 18 or 15 to 22 minutes anyways. Yeah. And if Hassan Whiteside starts to pull an attitude, Spoelstra's will take him off the court real quick. Does it every single time he does it. And so, therefore, Hassan Whiteside at 7,900 is a solid X for me. Can he go off? Sure. you know, but I'm just not taking the chance on it, and I'd rather play Bam.
So I got a few things to talk about here at the center position. Some of them you're going to disagree with, and I like that because I like the conversation. So I think, and I've been saying this pretty much from preseason, that I think Toronto comes out of the East. And everyone says it's going to be Boston, and they're a good team. Sure, very good team.
I think we're in agreement on that one.
I just don't see how anyone scores on the Raptors. Now,
which is why we've been avoiding them.
Right. The one place you can target them is with the center position, because they're a little bit weak there. Yovel is not that. First of all, Yovel is not a very explosive guy. Second, fantasy-wise, yeah, he can put up points quickly, but I'm talking about offensively and defensively, right? Doesn't jump to the gym, doesn't block too many shots. He also plays limited minutes, and he's really their only center. They traded Jakob Poeltl along with DeRozan, San Antonio. So Siakam plays that role off the bench. Ibaka plays that role off the bench. And with the performances that Towns has had here in the last, well, since the season started, he's priced down now. And frankly, most people probably aren't going to touch him. I kind of like Towns in a large field tournament setting. I'm not going to play him anywhere else, but I think I'm going to probably have some exposure. Other guy that I really like at center, which will probably be pretty chalk today, is going to be Ayton.
Yeah.
Ayton's cheap. He's 500 more than Cantor. They both have pretty similar upside. They both have really, 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 really good matchups, with Cantor probably being the better matchup. Only thing I'd look at there is some of these totals. So for Minnesota, Toronto, 229. And then for the Lakers, Suns, it's 238. So maybe slight advantage to Ayton. Just considering that Hart and KCP will be on Booker so often. So he might have to do more, which, by the way, is the exact reason why I wanted to play Josh Jackson. Because with all the defense focusing on Booker, I think Jackson can get loose. But, I'm looking at that.
Okay. I don't mind it at all. A guy that people are going to be asking about is going to be Tristan Thompson against Jared Allen. I don't like it more because I like others better.
Right.
This notion that Jared Allen isn't good at defense I don't know where it's coming from, but it's just not right, in my opinion.
All right.
Yeah. I'm not chasing the Jonas Valanciunas game, although for $5,500, he's still in play. But I'm not playing him because he went off. I'm playing him because he's got a great matchup against Kat.
Right.
Right.
Just we always question his minutes. That's what we always question with Yoga.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and I don't mind playing Rudy Gobert against Clint Capella. So,
frankly, I think I like both sides of that one.
I have to look more into Capella.
Yeah.
Just because I try not to make it a habit to pick on Gobert.
Sure, agree.
Like, I don't even play Steven Adams against him. But, you know, it's just one of those things, like, I'll have to look into it a little bit more. Alex Len. It's not pretty.
It's not pretty.
Although it did look pretty last game. It looked a lot better last game. And yeah. A lot of it, I think, is just him kind of getting comfortable in game time, in game situations.
Yeah.
But what you saw, that 46, dude, that's legit. Every single game he has the ability to do that. And we've seen it.
He just has to not foul everyone, and he can get there.
Yeah, that's always been his problem.
So I like Jared Allen. I think it's a good game. I like the pace of that game. I like the lack of defense on both sides of that game. So for those hearing it, I'm not playing Brook Lopez. Stop asking. Anyone else you like?
No, because I don't play Karl Anthony Towns. I don't play Hassan Whiteside. So it's pretty low at the position today.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Any shots on JaVale McGee?
No.
Okay. That's all she wrote.
Yeah, whoa. Hello, JaVale.
I mean,
okay, that might change. I'll have to look into it. I'm just not gonna go. I hate looking at game logs.
He's been really consistent.
I'm gonna have to look at it.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for us today. Bowl Calls Edition, DFS Army Daily Dispatch, Daily Fantasy Basketball. I am Keith. That is Bear. We are out.